Coming up on this episode of the Vacationland Podcast, a closing date is announced for the half of Downtown Disney that's going to go away when the new hotel comes in. Universal Studios celebrates its 25th anniversary of Jurassic Park. Clever girl. Knott's Berry Farm finally announces the opening date of its newest roller coaster. And Halloween Horror Nights takes a journey into the Upside Down. Plus, later on, we'll take a look at the history of Pirates of the Caribbean as Disney announces an upcoming rehab that will probably say goodbye to our favorite redhead, and no, I don't mean Lucy. So, sit closer together and keep your ruddy hands on board. That be the best way to repel boarders. And mark my words, matey. Dead men tell no tales. From an undisclosed location near the Pacific Ocean, this is the Vacationland Podcast. This is the Vacationland Podcast for the week of April 9th, 2018. Visit our new travel partner, Magical Vacation Planner by Karis, for help about planning your next vacation getaway to any of the following: Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney and Alani, Universal Studios, Orlando, and Royal Caribbean, Princess Carnival Cruises, and more. Get your free consultation by visiting Magical Vacation Planner by Karis on Facebook or by visiting magicalvacationplanners.com/staff/Karis, Carriss-Milano, Milano. Welcome to the Vacationland Podcast, a discussion of the latest news, reviews, and history from around Southern California's theme park scene and beyond, brought to you by our team of theme park fans and experts. I am Chris Ramirez, the host and executive producer of the Vacationland Podcast, and this week I am joined by YouTube sensation and our Knott's Berry Farm reporter, Brandis Strautman. Hello, Brandis.
Hello.
New John and contributor, John Strautman.
Hey.
Hey, John. We're going to figure something out to call
you. It's okay. You're doing good. I like how it changes every week.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you were the replacement, John.
I was that.
And so now you're in with us permanently, so you're not your new John.
I'm part John, yeah.
It's
you know what? It's okay. I don't want to have, you know, never stay comfortable.
Well, we'll figure it out. Chaos. That's chaos.
I don't know what I meant by that.
I actually like being comfortable.
I know. I was like, well,
they say like if you want to be successful, never be comfortable, right? Like,
that's terrible advice.
But it's true. It's true. I'm
like sitting here thinking I'm pretty comfortable in this marriage.
Oh God.
Well, he was. I spent many years working. I work in the arts, and I spent many years being uncomfortable, and I'm now very comfortable. And I have to say, I enjoy being comfortable. So speaking of John, original John and associate producer is not here this week. He's actually coming down from San Jose Comic Con. That's where he was this week.
Pretty awesome.
So hopefully he'll be back on our next show and we'll be able to get some insight on how that went. So welcome back, everybody. So it's just the three of us. It's just nice and cozy, and we're gonna
comfortable.
Comfortable. Yes. Nice and cozy and comfortable. Never stay comfortable. But I wanted to welcome everybody back. We had a little bit of a break for Easter, and we took some time. I went to the Boysenberry Festival.
Ooh, so did I.
Which was very fun.
Hey, I did too.
And so you guys went on your, you got a date night?
Yes.
To the Boysenberry Festival? How was that?
It was terrible date night.
Oh, no. God. No, it was a lot of fun.
Okay, check this out. So we had a Good Samaritan come up to us. They were leaving and they gave us a whole thing of tickets.
Their tasting card.
Yeah. Could you believe that? How nice.
That's pretty awesome.
We actually just planned on going for the, wine tasting, the beer and wine tasting. And, there was nowhere to sit there. So we took our
beer and wine tasting.
Yeah, so we took our final drink to the saloon, and we're just sitting there, and this little girl walks up and just, "Excuse me, would you like this?" And it was a whole tasting card, and so
the whole one?
Yeah, her mom said that they were staying at the hotel and they gave them a bunch of tasting cards and they weren't going to use it.
That's like a $30. That's a $30 value, right?
Yeah,
we were like surprised. We were like, "What's the catch?" You know?
Yeah. Like, who are you?
Yeah,
who are you, and what do you want? That's
yeah. So I wish we knew their names to say how nice.
Oh yeah, that would be nice to give a call out.
So we tried basically everything, but we missed some stuff. I don't know what we missed.
We missed, so the map on the back of the tasting card is so impossible and stupid. Knott's Berry Farm, if you're listening, how about a better map? Because nobody in that park knows where any of the tastings are.
I have some things to add to the discussion on the Boysenberry Festival.
If Knott's Berry Farm is listening, that was only the opinion of YouTube sensation Brandis. not second John or whatever.
Wait, you read that map.
I didn't even try to. All no, I know is Knott's is the best.
Okay? I know we missed the elote because that's the first one you see when you go into the park. So the line was ridiculous. But we don't know what else we missed. We missed something else, but we couldn't tell by that stupid map. And when we asked around, none of the employees knew where to send us.
Yeah, that was a problem. That was a problem. The hummus.
We missed the hummus.
Yeah, you didn't miss much. So we had lunch at the Calico Grill or the Calico
Ghost Town Grill.
Not Ghost Town Grill. It was that fast food place that's right across from the Gold Trails Hotel. It's like Sutter's or something like that. It's a fast food place. They sell alligator bites around the corner, but they have a big sign that says, you know, Boysenberry hummus. So I'm assuming that this is also the line to get Boysenberry hummus. Well, no. So we, first of all, it took us like 45 minutes to get chicken nuggets and like a hamburger. So that was ridiculous. There are fast food lines at Knott's Berry Farm. I love Knott's Berry Farm, but boy, their fast food lines are just awful sometimes. So nobody knew where the hummus was, and I had to go walk. They gave me some vague directions, and the map didn't help. So I went around the corner, and over there by what used to be Indian Trails was the booth for the hummus. And it was all right. It was, you know, again, you didn't. Not like you missed like the pierogies or something. The pierogies were really delicious.
That's funny. I found that to be confusing.
Yeah, it was that cheddar cheese inside, right?
No. It was that it's a Russian dish for the Old West themed park with boysenberry sour cream. So it's like basically they just took this normal dish and just, how can we make this boysenberry? I know, we'll put purple dye and a hint of flavor in the sour cream.
Yeah.
So it didn't taste anything boysenberry. The onions were, I love onions, but the onions were just kind of overwhelming for everything.
They were. And I enjoyed it, it was good.
It just didn't make sense.
I enjoyed the short rib. The short rib was good.
That was good. And the sausage was good.
The sausage was amazing. I think the sausage, so we used a ticket on quite possibly, and this is what I wanted to bring up, quite possibly the worst quesadilla I have
ever had. Yes. My goodness. Oh, disgusting.
I've been waiting to say something about that because, yeah, it was terrible.
Everyone online is bashing it.
We did not find the Boysenberry pizza. So I can't believe that they replaced.
I don't think they had pizza this year.
Yeah.
Oh.
They didn't.
I know. Knott's, bring back the pizza.
But yeah, so the quesadilla, had we known that you get two full-size boysenberry sausages, we would have skipped the quesadilla because it was awful.
Do you know what else, what I didn't get to try that everyone was raving about was that 2-foot hot dog.
I couldn't find it.
On a boysenberry bun.
I couldn't find it.
I was going to say I didn't see anywhere advertising it, but everyone online was raving, so I didn't get to try it because it was too crowded to search for.
Right. Yeah. It was really crowded.
But yeah, let's go back to that quesadilla because I just like to say, what was the cheese they used? It was,
I think it was mozzarella.
No. It was a Mexican cheese, not the queso fresca.
The cotija?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not a melting cheese.
No. And it was cold on the inside. They burned the tortilla. I mean, the tortilla was just purple. Yeah. The tortilla was purple. It didn't taste like anything.
It's purple flavor.
And the boysenberry salsa was more like a jelly.
Like a jam.
Yeah. Okay, good. And it doesn't make sense.
I'm glad it's not just me because we went the first weekend and I thought, well, maybe it's the opening weekend. It's, you know, they're still trying to get their legs underneath them. John's shaking his head no.
No, I loved like the first, last year's Boysenberry Festival. It was so amazing.
Yeah.
And this year I was so hyped up and it was just.
It was average.
It's like they just thought of what is the cheapest, easiest dishes we could make. Now, how do we make it boysenberry? Oh, why no food coloring?
Yeah. The elote. You guys did not try the elote?
No.
Okay. I haven't met anybody that's tried the elote. It's just, I mean, it was a corn on an open fire with. Yeah, it was.
How did they make it boysenberry? Like, was it boysenberry mayonnaise?
Like a boysenberry mayonnaise on it, yeah, and some sprinkled cheese, and yeah, the chicken wings were just average as usual.
Oh, no, yeah, okay. The chicken wings, they're tasty, but they are not food festival tasty.
All right, well, here's my opinion about it. What I loved is that she didn't like much of anything, so I got to eat all of
the rest of it. Yeah,
so
no, it's not that I didn't like much of anything, because there was things I did like. It's that I filled up on beer and wine.
Yes, so we did try we didn't finish that. My wife would eat like a little bit of it and then I would get to finish the rest of it.
So did you share a tasting card?
We shared a tasting
card. Because that's what we do every year and it works.
Yeah, we shared a tasting card. And I actually, so here's this, and this is what shocked me. So we paid full price to get in. We went, you know, we paid for our ticket to get in, and then we paid for our tasting card. I thought that the value of the tasting card was a better value at $30 than the DCA annual pass card that I bought a couple of weeks before, for $45. Like you got like good sized servings.
Yes.
You got to go inside into the old steakhouse. And so, you know, you got tables, you got, eight. And so for $30, I felt like that, the quesadilla aside, that was a good, value for $30.
It is a good value. And I like that you mentioned the old steakhouse. Cause let me say, this is kind of like genius on their part. Cause you get like each year you get two or three tastings in the steakhouse. But it's pretty much empty because people don't know. But they're selling other Boysenberry items in there.
Yes.
And that's the genius, because it's empty and you're so sick of the crowd. So you might be like, you know what? I'm just going to go purchase this right here.
It's in the shade. It's air conditioned. They had the Boysenberry cheesecake. I was fascinated by that Boysenberry cheesecake fountain.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get one because that would send me into a coma. But
didn't we get one, Brian?
No.
Oh, was that
not
last
this year? That was a last year or the year before. One of these years, though, I'm going to get drunk at that wine tasting and go stick my head in that chocolate fountain.
Okay, so can we?
She's gonna go with you that time.
So I have to admit the Boysenberry wine was as advertised. My goodness gracious, that was good. But after about two of them, I had to stop.
Yes, that's my favorite thing.
Well, no, because no, it was like it's a really high alcohol content.
Okay.
Yes, that's my favorite thing about the Boysenberry Festival is to go during early entry for pass holders. And I get the Boysenberry wine because it tastes like juice. So it's a breakfast wine.
Yeah.
If such a thing exists, that's it. It's a breakfast wine. So I have just like one or two, get a nice buzz going, walk around the park, sober up in time to drive home.
Yeah. No, that was part of the, I mean, I think we got there right at opening. And so I think we got the Boysenberry wine. It was probably about 10:30 in the morning. So we went with four people. My wife and two friends. And if you go to our YouTube channel, the Vacation Land Podcast on YouTube, you can see an overview of my trip to the Boysenberry Festival, as well as a overview of my trip to the DCA Food and Wine Festival with my friend Karen. And she provides some pretty funny commentary. But yeah, so we went there about 10:30 in the morning. Our group got a couple of wines, and I got the Boysenberry beer was also very good.
Oh,
I really
wait, did you get the
that.
Beer or the cider?
I got the cider.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say the cider is tasty. I didn't get the Boysenberry beer this year to know if it's the same, but in previous years, I was surprised at how tart it was.
Yeah. No, I did get both. I didn't get it at that time, but I did get the beer and the cider, and the beer was actually had a lot of like tart Boysenberry flavor. It was, if you liked beer and you like that kind of stuff, it was really good.
Yeah. I find that refreshing in drinks. Like I don't like overly sweet. So the tart of the beer is just really refreshing.
Yeah. My friend, he spent the entire day drinking white wine. he got like a couple of the Boysenberry wines, and then he spent the little teeny tiny bottles of white wine that they serve them to you in.
So your friend is a middle-aged soccer mom?
Yes. No, he's not. He's actually, he just drinks like one. Okay. So you guys are, and this is actually in my notes that I needed to bring up to you. And I didn't know this was a thing until like halfway through the day. What the hell is up with them not giving you any lids on your soda, on your soft drinks?
You know, that's something they just started and I don't know either. And it drove me crazy at the, not scary farm. Like I'm carrying around this overfilling soda while people are jumping out scaring me. I'm going to spill it on people.
Oh my gosh. So if you spill it, you're going to have to do what? Buy another
but
one.
No, because if you're a pass holder, you have the thing that you get free refills.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. So I've talked about it before. We went to chaperone a high school dance there essentially. And I thought that was just a thing that they were doing, you know, like you go to that they were doing just for that night, like as part of the special events. They just weren't going to give you any lids. If you go to like the zoo or the wild animal park, they don't give you straws or lids there because they don't want the animals to choke on them.
That makes sense.
But this is, it's nuts. I'm like, what? So I've seen people.
Well, nuts is nuts.
Yeah. I don't understand why. Like, I don't understand that. Like the whole.
Maybe they just ran out.
Maybe it is an environmental thing.
It might be, but it's dumb.
More trash that can end up on the ground, maybe.
Yeah. So I've seen people go to like Subway. Somebody posted on a Facebook page that they'd gone to Subway and stolen a bunch of the medium sized Subway lids. So they take them to Knott's. And yeah, I don't understand.
Or it could also be to encourage you to buy their refillable souvenir cups.
I have a feeling that that's actually closer to what the actual situation is that they just, they're pushing those souvenir cups and they figure, well, you know, we don't drink as much soda as we used to. So that's not, and we're not annual pass holders. So for a day of that, there was a time where we could make it worth the money, but just it won't, the refillable drinks would just go to waste because we won't get enough free refills to pay for the price of it.
Yeah, we don't do those refills anymore. It was different when we had a stroller, but nobody wants to carry around that.
Yeah, the silly plastic thing.
Yeah, it's just a big bucket. And sure, it's got a strap. You could strap it to your belt while it sloshes all over you.
Yeah, we've got from other trips to Knott's and other trips to other theme parks, we've got four or five of them just sitting in a closet in the kitchen. You know, you never use them, again. So, all right. Well, that was the Boysenberry Festival. I did want to talk to you guys about that. Sounded like you guys had, it did sound like you had fun.
I did. We did.
We always have fun.
I wish there was more variation in the types of, when we went to that wine tasting area, that they don't do the card. They don't do the card anymore, probably because of that riot that you talked about in the last show. But we noticed that there wasn't very much variety and that all this started the same wines and beers throughout the park. And I wish there was just a little bit more variety.
You know what? The wine and beer tasting was very lackluster this year. And there was nowhere to sit. Even those little stand-up tables seemed to be less this year.
The barrels.
Yeah, whatever those are. But I was disappointed because before it's I only get six tastings. There's so much I want to taste. But this year I didn't see some of my favorites from before, though I did really enjoy. They had a raspberry beer from some other country that was absolutely delicious.
Oh, really?
I did write down the information to see if I could go find it. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, we had fun. We had.
Did you guys go on any rides while you were there?
Oh, we went on the stagecoach, which I haven't done in a really long time.
Oh, I love the stagecoach. Yeah.
And my friend and I went on. So nobody, one of my best friends, her boyfriend is the one that was drinking wine all day, and he's not a big roller coaster fan. So me and my friend, we went on Montezuma's Revenge.
I love it.
Which again, it's a classic Knott's ride. Yeah. We went on the Voyage of the Iron Reef, which is interesting.
We call that the squid ride.
Yeah. My friend's gun wasn't working.
Oh, I hate that.
That's her score was actually zero because her gun wasn't working.
Really,
you sure?
It.
You sure it wasn't just her excuse?
It might have been.
No. I've had that happen to me before. And
are
I
you sure? Are you sure it just wasn't your excuse?
I beat you every time. And you know it. I like using double guns.
Oh, have you guys done the virtual? Did you do the virtual reality?
No, we didn't. Oh. We were there mostly.
Oh,
it
is amazing. It is scary.
I'll have to go check it out next.
When they open Hang Time, we'll all go.
Yeah.
And you and John could go on Hang Time, and your wife and I or whoever you bring will go shopping or drinking wine.
Yeah.
White wine. No. And then we'll meet you in the saloon, and then we'll go do virtual reality. It's amazing.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
A bit bossy planning over there, but whatever.
Hey, I plan my whole life that way.
Somebody's got to. What else did we go on? We went on Iron Reef. That might have been it. Oh, we went on the mine train.
Sure is dark up here. Say, driver, how about a little bit more light? Would you look at that? You know, all it takes is one tiny drop of water and about a million years to make all these stalagmites on the floor and stalactites on the ceiling.
Okay.
The light, we really wanted to go. I haven't been on the Timber Mountain log ride since it got refurbished. Oh. That line was 4 hours long.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, we're not going to go. Yeah. No. So, all right. Well, thank you guys again. Check out our YouTube videos if you want to see this year's food wine festivals in the various parks. And so we're going to move on to park hopping.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. There are several ways to visit this happy place. If this is your first visit, you may enjoy the guided tour. Welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of LA.
Thank you.
Y'all come have a ball. Things are very fine riding on the old Knightsbury line.
So Brandis is going to kick us off today. What's going on at Downtown Disney?
Well, Downtown Disney announces closing dates to make way for a new hotel. Several businesses that have anchored Anaheim's Downtown Disney since it opened in 2001 will be demolished this summer to make room for a new 700-room hotel. Disney officials announced that the business would close by June 30th, with demolition slated to begin in early July to clear the site for a new and as yet unnamed hotel, which will occupy 17 acres. It's unknown at this point if any of the closed businesses will reopen elsewhere in Anaheim, though talks are ongoing about one or more reopening inside the new hotel complex. Here is what's being demolished. AMC 12 Theaters, Rainforest Cafe, ESPN Zone, Earl of Sandwich, Alamo Rent-A-Car, Starbucks, the West Side location. Two Disney businesses, Disney Vacation Club and Walt Disney Travel, will continue operating in other resort locations. Around 200 employees in the Disney-owned ESPN Zone Sports Bar will be offered bonuses starting at $500 if they remain on the job until the June closing date, and will also be offered severance packages and the chance to seek other jobs at the resort. Disney spokeswoman Susie Brown said, "We appreciate their contributions and we're working with them individually to explore opportunities at this resort." The popular Earl of Sandwich plans to operate until the June 30th deadline, and its 69 employees will have a chance to be considered for jobs at Boca de Beppo, which is also owned by parent company Planet Hollywood International. Two job fairs are scheduled, including a Disneyland Resort Culinary Job Fair on April 16th in the Grand Californian and the Resort Area Job Fair on May 3rd at the Paradise Pier Hotel. They are open to the public.
So, now we know it's closing. Everybody kind of had speculated. We talked about this in a previous episode. They're going to build a new hotel. And when they released their drawings for the new hotel, everyone went, "Hey, isn't that where everything west of the Lego store is located?" So everybody kind of speculated. They've been thinking about it. Now we know ESPN Zone, Rainforest Cafe, both of those have been there since 2001, since the Downtown Disney District opened. That being said, the only thing I'm going to really miss about any of this is Earl of Sandwich, because it's the only really inexpensive option. It's also the newest. And the other thing that I'm going to miss is the giant sports video screens outside ESPN Zone, because over the last couple of years, so it started off in 2001, it had this huge arcade upstairs, and then it had like a rock climbing wall, and then it had all these different activities, kind of like almost like a virtual reality race car driving thing that you could pay to do. My wife and I went there a couple of days ago, and we didn't go to eat. They also used to broadcast the post Monday night football games from one of the restaurants.
Whether on a business trip or a family vacation, ESPN Zone is a perfect place for the sports-minded family as well as sports lovers of all types and ages. Step into ESPN Zone and you have entered a world where sport is king. Whether it's shooting regulation length free throws or going a few rounds with a virtual boxing champion, the interactive games at ESPN Zone give guests the opportunity to test their skills and stretch their imaginations.
So they don't do any of that anymore. They got rid of the rock wall. They got rid of most of the video games. When we went up there, it was kind of like they had a private like little area kind of cordoned off in the corner. And so it's just been really sad and kind of depressing, actually, looking, knowing what used to be there. And so I always said they need to do something with it. What I didn't know was that they're going to bulldoze it.
They listen to you. Careful what you wish for.
Right. That is the ultimate careful what you wish for. Rainforest Cafe. I spent about 6 months working in the Rainforest Cafe when it first opened. Worked at Disney. I did.
Dude, you worked everywhere.
I worked in the gift shop for 6 months.
Did it drive you nuts though?
It did. I couldn't do it anymore. I was coming back from a Ren Fair one day and I said, I'm not doing this job anymore. Well, I was trying to do Disneyland and that at the same time.
Oh, wow.
And it was the one and only time I've had two jobs at this concurrent times. And it wasn't worth it.
Thunder and lightning and the
animals that move So, you know, this is, they just closed the one at the South Coast Plaza, the Rainforest Cafe, not just closed it like 5 years ago. But that one's closed. Now this one in Downtown Disney's closing. They haven't announced what's going into the new hotel.
Hopefully a Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah.
Because, you know, no, here's the thing. They have the worst food I've ever tasted for that price.
You've clearly never eaten at the T-Rex restaurant in Orlando, which is owned by the same people.
Well, it's just the experience. And so it's like you eat there once and you don't ever eat there again. But then as soon as you have somebody come in from out of town or somebody who says they've never eaten there, you're like, oh, we got to go.
Yeah.
And then you remember how badly it is. But, you know, at least the drinks are strong.
They are.
So you forget about the taste of the food.
Yeah. We stopped eating there about the time that they stopped giving the cast member discounts out. So once they stopped doing that, we went, yeah, it's really expensive and the food's not really
good. The portions are small for what you're paying, and it literally tastes like it was frozen and microwaved and salted to heck.
Yeah, it tastes like it all tastes frozen. It's you're there just for the experience. I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
It tastes microwaved. It doesn't taste fresh. It's not, you know, it's very much a product of the late 90s, early 2000s, when that was the kind of, like, you go over there for the experience.
Location. I mean, environment or whatever.
Yeah.
You go for the
ambiance.
For the ambiance. You go there because it's in a jungle and there's aquariums and you take your kids and, you know, it's like.
You get the rain and.
Yeah. The thunder and, you know, you really, you know, have to really enjoy eating underneath an animatronic gorilla.
It's so loud in there.
Oh gosh, the gorilla is the worst one to sit by. And the elephant.
The elephant is so loud.
Yeah,
you're in the middle of a conversation and then you just got to stop and plug your ears.
But I will say this. So as locals, we don't go. That place is always freaking packed. Like there are always
Because that's
there.
Where you go when you've never been there before.
Yeah. You're like, what is this giant Mayan temple in the middle of downtown?
Yeah,
Disney?
It's enticing.
Yeah.
It draws you in. It's got a siren song.
And it's even little things. Like they used to announce while we walked around the gift shop just to kind of see what had changed. The answer was nothing since 2001. But they used to refer to you as your instead of like so party of four, they used to refer to you from the hostess elephant as, you know, your safari of four.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, they don't do that anymore either. They just like party four, Smith party four. Yeah, he's coming to the
all the thunder and lightning that they're just like they've been bogged down on, they're just like tired.
No, back when my daughter was just a little baby, we started going to the Santa in the mall, and then afterwards we'd go to Rainforest Cafe, and I'd always buy one of their 16-ounce brightly colored mugs with different character, you know, parrot. Sure, iguana. Yeah.
Sister Parrot.
And I've collected all of them. And then when one would break, I'd go, because I love those mugs. Like, not for their decoration. It's just really hard to find a thick 16-ounce mug.
Right. They're huge mugs.
So when one would break, I'd go back and replace it. So now how am I going to replace my mugs?
You buy their stock out while they're still open.
So open my own warehouse of mugs.
Yeah. I mean, Earl's Sandwich is great. It's, you know. So maybe we'll take a field trip and we'll go check out we'll do a vlog or something where we'll go to Downtown Disney and kind of see what's, you know, what's there and what's left. And, so look for that.
Sounds pretty sad the way you say that.
It does. Yeah. And they only started playing they used to only play like ESPN programming, but now you can go out there. You can watch it. They'll have the Dodgers on, the Angels on, USC foot, like all the LA
sports ball.
Yeah. So all those LA sports ball, but you don't have to go in. You can just watch it from outside.
That's why they're shutting down.
I will say this. I saw a Rose Bowl there a couple of years ago because I didn't want to sit at home and watch it, you know, by myself. And so one of the worst sports watching experiences in a bar I've ever had. It was just, it's not a good place to watch a game. It's not a good place to eat. It's just, you're there for the experience. They used to do broadcasts from there. They don't do that anymore. They haven't done that in years. Mm. So, you know, it's one of those like, okay, it's time to move on. Yeah. So clearly they are. All right. Jurassic Park is celebrating its 25th anniversary.
Time, the ever flowing river. Come with us now to a time before man, when the river flowed through a newborn world and giants walked the earth. Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Okay, on Friday, May 11th and Saturday, May 12th, the Jurassic Park 25th anniversary celebration will roar to life at Universal Studios Hollywood, and guests are invited to be a part of this exclusive event in honor of the blockbuster action adventure that brought dinosaurs out of extinction a quarter of a century ago. The first ever themed Jurassic Park 25th anniversary, the first ever themed Jurassic Park 25th anniversary celebration. How many 25th anniversary celebrations do they plan?
Just the one. It's the first one. Well, however many it is, this is the first one.
Created in partnership with Universal Pictures and Amblin Entertainment, is a separately ticketed event. Space is limited and tickets will sell out. So they're pretty sure of themselves.
Yeah, as of yesterday, tickets had not sold out.
The multifaceted immersive event will feature a private screening of the 1993 classic Jurassic Park at Universal City Walk's all-new state-of-the-art Universal Cinema. The exciting showcase will also re-release the film's original trailer.
Universal Pictures presents.
You feel that?
Hold on to your butts.
A Steven Spielberg film.
Fences are failing all over the park.
Yeah, that's nice. Gotta go.
An adventure.
Look out! No!
I can't get Jurassic Park back online.
65 million years in the making. Jurassic Park.
The remainder of the event, which includes exclusive after-hour access, will take place within Universal Studios Hollywood, connected to the theme park's Jurassic Park The Ride, which opened on June 21st, 1996, featuring an 80-foot drop, plus other selected attractions will be available. Guests will receive a special commemorative lanyard and unlimited access to all things Jurassic, from the acclaimed theme park ride to original props, including the gyrosphere, as seen in the 2015 sequel Jurassic World. Original dinosaur maquettes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There's no R in that word. Original dinosaur maquettes, costume displays, and an interactive expo area. Live entertainment, themed food, and merchandise will also be available to complement the events. What kind of dinosaur themed food? Dino bites.
Those dinosaur sized chicken.
Yeah, those little frozen chicken nuggets.
The chicken nuggets you used to get in the kids' meals in the grocery store.
Then you just pour ketchup on it and say T-Rex attack. Okay.
Or like a lamb, like they put down on like a chain, like when they feed the T-Rex, remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like they're going to hang a lamb down and everyone's got to walk up and take a bite.
But you can't use your hands. So you have to like.
Prandus doesn't want to be fed. Prandus wants to hunt.
That's another great idea. Hunt for your food.
There you go. You can. They're providing you. The food will be provided, but it's got to be lowered in on a giant crane.
Around an electrified fence.
There we go.
Okay. Unique to the Jurassic Park 25th anniversary celebration event, guests will be invited to dress up as their favorite character from the franchise. So buy your khaki shorts now.
I'll be Dr. Grant. Dr. Grant, I call it.
I want to be Jeff Goldblum.
Actually, that is a way cooler option.
I was going to be the little boy.
I have my black shirt open down to my navel.
But he survives. He lives.
He does live. He does.
He lives.
Okay. Event is only $69.
Yeah. Only.
And those tickets are going to sell out according to Universal Studios. So hurry up and spend that $69.
Chris Pratt's going to have to start hawking those. Get it going.
Oh, it's $120 for the day-night combo. Oh, special price available for pass holders.
Yeah, which they won't give you unless you input your annual pass holder number. You can't find out what the special price is, and none of us. Erin couldn't be here today, so she was going to be our in on that, and so yeah,
there's dang.
We don't know what the annual pass price is, but if you're an annual pass holder, go ahead and go on the Universal website and put your pass number in, and they'll tell you what it is because it's a secret.
So I will say this, if they had the food event that we just described, it would be worth the $69.
Yeah, absolutely. If our version is totally worth $69. And what did you said something earlier about the private screening. What did you say before?
Oh, gosh. Well, how small is this private screening if like.
Yeah, how many tickets? Are you selling 50 tickets? Are you selling 500 tickets?
Like, yeah, because if you're packing like a several theaters yeah. filled, it's not a private screening. A private screening is if it's just like 24 people or something.
Right.
So it's all quiet and literally private.
Everybody's going to be on their phone. taking pictures.
Yeah, and is it like, are they just going to have a big screen? Like,
yeah. Unless Steven Spielberg's coming out to introduce every single theater, then yeah, I don't know if it's.
That'd be worth more than $69.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'd pay $69 for that. For sure. I don't think he's going to be there. Mm-hmm. By the way, also, my wife got really mad when I pointed this out yesterday. Jurassic Park's 25 years old. How crazy is that? I remember it was one of the best movies I remember. I would see it with my dad. You know, we went on opening day because I had read the book because I was a total nerd. I'm still a total nerd, but I read the book, the Michael Crichton book, and I was like, the movie was coming out. I was like, we have to go see this movie. So I dragged my dad out at, you know, I was 13 when it came out.
Me too. Like, yeah, my mom took me for my birthday. It was a big deal.
Yeah, we went out like that day. Like, he came home from work and we went to the movies, and I think I saw it like twice in the movie theaters. So I love that movie. It's such a quotable movie. Where are you going to?
Oh, I saw it in the Dollar Theater. That's how old I am. The Dollar Theater.
Dollar Theaters are awesome. I wish they weren't gone.
I do love Dollar Theater. There's one in Irvine still.
Is that still going?
Yeah, I think that one's still going. Oh. But yeah, it's such a quotable movie. As a matter of fact, we had a power outage at the place that I work at. And so we had to actually call in the electricians to come and like restore the power because it had blown the entire building, the grid. Mm-hmm. So literally, so the one thing that I said was, it's like that scene in Jurassic Park where Ellie has to go downstairs into the basement and like pump the primer and then like literally like turn on all the fences and so that's a great movie. All right, John, this one was just for you. What's going on at Knott's Berry Farm?
They're closing.
Oh, that's
just kidding.
No. Is it raining?
No. Okay, so hang
it's
time.
It's slightly sprinkling.
Yeah,
we're talking hang time. Hanging with Mr. Cooper here. All right, so Hang Time, the first and only dive coaster in California, will grand open on May 18th, 2018 at Knott's Berry Farm. Knott's Berry Farm has announced the opening date for its latest thrill ride, which will tower 150 feet over the boardwalk area, showcasing a beyond virtual vertical drop, gravity-defying inversions, and mid-air suspension. Okay, so I'm gonna stop there. So is that really the first vertical like hang time drop thing?
I think it's the first one on the West Coast.
Really?
Is what they're pushing it as. Yeah. It's the first one on the first.
But companies love to say they're the first at something if nobody else says it first, even if they were the first.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's like, it's not the first ever. It's the first on the West Coast. And if it's not the first on the West Coast, it's the first in California. And if it's not, it's the first vertical
the
drop.
The first one that has a green track.
In Buena Park. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. That's the first in Buena Park.
Yeah.
The coaster's train will come to a halt once the highest peak is reached and will leave riders suspended at the crest for several seconds at a 60-degree angle, giving the illusion of a disappearing track. Oh, that's fun. Okay. All right. Then the train will suddenly descend in a beyond vertical drop through 2,189 feet of steel track and five gravity-defying inversions. The new coaster will be only the second roller coaster in the Western Hemisphere to feature a negative G-stall loop, which gives riders the sensation of floating. Interesting.
Which is really cool, yeah.
Which part is that? That's I can't picture it.
I think it's the loop, like the big loop that goes around. Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha. The ride structure itself will come to life and illuminate the boardwalk area with colorful nighttime track chase lighting that will accompany the coaster's train's travels across the smooth steel track. The coaster continues Knott's legacy in roller coaster innovation and industry's first. The park introduces the very first corkscrew inversion roller coaster with corkscrew and the first flywheel launch coaster with Montezuma's Revenge. The dive coaster model is being manufactured by a German ride maker on the former site of Boomerang, which has been part of Boardwalk for the last 27 years. It replaced the Roaring Twenties corkscrew in 1990. The corkscrew made its debut in 1975, closing in 1989. I don't remember the corkscrew.
I remember the corkscrew. The corkscrew was actually my very first roller coaster.
Oh, wow.
Ever. Yeah, it was on the boardwalk. And so, I mean, it closed in what year did it say it closed?
Debuted in 1975. It closed in 1990. And that's when Boomerang came.
Now, just a few years ago, your visit to the farm would be almost complete by now. But Knott's Berry Farm is constantly growing, and in 1975 opened a third old-time adventure area, the Roaring Twenties. And it really is all that its name implies. The first major attraction open to the guests in this new adventure area was the world's first corkscrew. It is one of the most incredible rides you'll ever experience. A wild roller coaster that sends you up a towering hill, then straight down at 45 miles per hour, then whirls you around and around, upside down, in two 360-degree loops. It's an experience you'll never forget.
So I was about 10 years old, and it must have been one of the last summers that it was open, because every year we used to go, for my birthday, we would go to either Disneyland or Knott's Berry Farm, so we used to alternate every year. And so I must have been 10, it must have been for my birthday, and I remember that was my first like big roller coaster.
Man, I just don't recall it. I remember when Boomerang came around, and that was a big deal. I liked Boomerang.
Yeah. This and listening to you describe it. And so I love the way that they write these things, because I pulled a lot of this off of the press release, but it's a gravity defying, upside down. You're going to go, you're never going to have kids again. Watch. It's really intense. The language.
Negative G stall loop.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fine, I guess. But, the way that they write these is really funny.
Making up words and stuff.
It's all a G star loop. It's no, stop it. the other thing, this sounds like it's going to have a 4 hour long line, because I can't imagine them running more than one train at a time on this thing.
I watched the video. They have this kind of dumb video on their site.
Oh, it's like the VR, not yeah. VR one, but the
it's just really cheesy looking. Yeah. But yeah, it seems like they can only do
computer
one at
animation.
A time.
Yeah.
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 But,
well, as pass holders, usually they haven't said anything about this, because usually it's not even anything they announce, but you usually get on the rides before they open to the public.
That's really cool. Yeah.
So what they'll do, when they redid Camp Snoopy a few years ago, they added three new rides. And it was right before Father's Day. It was right before Father's Day. I took the boys there with my mother-in-law to get some of those Old West pictures done for Father's Day for John. And while we were there, they announced, and this was early entry, so nobody else is there but the pass holders.
Right.
And they announced that we could test the new rides.
Oh, that's fun.
And it was so hard, because John didn't know we were getting those pictures. So it was so hard to tell the boys, yes, you can ride this ride, but don't tell daddy.
Lies, man. So I went there thinking they never rode him before and rode him with me for the first time. But they're like, liars.
Yeah, I had to tell him on Father's Day, like, yeah, we rode it before. All of us together, but you.
That's a really cool perk for being a Knott's.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, they're cool about that. That kind of stuff is cool.
Yeah, Disney doesn't do anything like that.
No, they really take care of their pass holders at Knott's. That's why we keep coming back.
Very cool. And John, what is it? So what did you sent me something on Facebook, right?
Dude, I just want to make sure that you go with me, because she never rides these rides. I end up to like wait in line by myself. It's so awkward.
As I've gotten old, I'm pretty old now. As I've gotten old, I get really dizzy and nauseous on rides like that.
That's the point of a roller coaster, isn't it?
You weren't old when I met you. Or were you?
I was older than you.
Whatever. Anyway, she never goes on these rides. And it's
rides? Wait, we didn't go to theme parks back then when we
first... Yeah, we did.
What?
I don't know. I'm sure we did.
We only went to the fair, and I don't ride fair...
Anyway.
Yeah, that's pretty good life advice. Don't ride fair rides.
Yeah.
Don't ride fair rides.
Caitlin and I do the fair rides. I have no... anyway, I love roller coasters. I'm just excited to do this one. I figured... You're into roller coasters.
I love roller
coasters. I think we'll have a good
time. I want to lose about 20 more pounds before I go on there, because there's one.
It's less than a month.
Yeah, well, there you go. I have a month to lose 20 pounds. There's one roller coaster where, and I've lost some weight in the last few months, so I may fit in it now. But there's one roller coaster in particular at Knott's Berry Farm that I cannot ride. And I'm not particularly, I'm not huge. It's just this one particular coaster.
Is it Accelerator?
No, it's the little Wild Mouse coaster next to... restaurant.
Yeah, that one sucks.
Which one?
I don't like that ride.
The one Samuel likes, the Samuel roller coaster.
I don't know.
It's like Wave Runner or something.
Yeah, it's by the. It's by the.
It's by all the carnival rides.
Yeah,
in the boardwalk area. It's where Perilous Plunge used to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. But anyways, so
by the Flyers thing. Yeah. I love that.
If I can squeeze in it, I will ride it.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to take the last story here. There was a big announcement from Hollywood, Universal Studios Hollywood, and Halloween Horror Nights. Stranger Things is coming to Universal Studios Hollywood Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights is going to be visiting the Upside Down with its highly anticipated arrival of Netflix original series Stranger Things as an all-new supernatural maze. For the first time ever, Universal Studios Hollywood is partnering with Netflix to bring Stranger Things to life at this year's Halloween Horror Nights events. Fans of the series will get the chance to brave the upside down and confront the supernatural as each park debuts all new mazes inspired by season one. Okay, so now we know season one of the critically acclaimed series. The parallel universe referred to as the upside down that terrorized the small town of Hawkins, Indiana in Netflix's mega hit series Stranger Things will bring the predatory Demogorgon to Halloween Horror Nights to stalk unwilling guests as they encounter iconic scenes, characters, and environments from the mesmerizing series. One of the other things that I read was that it's going to have his mom's living room with all the, Christmas lights lit up.
Whoa. Spoiler alert.
It's out.
Right. Anybody who hasn't seen it, I mean...
Working collaboratively with Netflix, along with the creators and executive producer of the series, Matt Duffer, Ross Duffer, and Sean Levy, the mazes at Universal Studios Hollywood, Universal Orlando Resort, and Universal Studios Singapore will be authentic representations of Stranger Things designed to transport guests into artfully recreated scenes and storylines. From the menacing Hawkins National Laboratory under the U.S. Department of Energy to the buyer's home adorned with a display of flashing Christmas lights and the eerie upside-down woods, oozing a shower of floating orb-like spores. The new mazes will offer surprising twists and unexpected turns. Halloween Horror Nights begins Friday, September 14th in Hollywood and Orlando.
Can I read a little clip that I found that I thought was kind of interesting?
Yeah, go ahead.
So it's the Stranger Things world by recreating some of the show's most iconic scenes, 80s settings, and most loved characters. Hashtag rest in peace, Barb.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hashtag Barb deserved better.
She surely did. But so, she ended up being on an episode of Black Mirror, so I feel okay for her.
Okay, now that's... Well,
sorry.
Have you guys seen the art for this?
I watched a video that was super cool. I haven't seen any artwork necessarily.
So the art for this is actually really, really cool. It's the Universal Studios arch, and then it's got the Demogorgon vines.
I did see that. And I saw the video that they showed, that I saw, was like, it's got the music, whatever, and it's got the bike on the trail, like, right?
Oh, okay.
But behind the Universal Studios things, and then it slowly, like, flips around and turns into upside down, and the bike is then the other way around. It's pretty cool the way they do it.
Yeah, and so, and then, so the sign outside the Universal Arch, so it's got the four kids right in front of the arch, the sign that says, "Welcome to Hawkins."
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yes.
That's so.
For real.
Yeah. So, I'm hoping that we can all take a trip out there. My wife, who's not into, I mean, it's been a long time since I've gone to a scare event because I work in the entertainment industry and like those things just do nothing for me. This, we are like, we need to go back. This might be time to go to another, scare event.
It's got everything you need. It's got a little bit of scare. It's got a little bit of,
it's got that creepy,
nostalgia
creepiness.
Know, it's like something that will always, it'll always be creepy to you because it'll remind you of, when you're younger, I think, you know, when I was always in, be a scaredy cat when it comes to stuff from when you're a kid, you know?
Yeah. It definitely, it taps into those fears. And then that nostalgia, like you said, of being younger and, you know, we all, I think all three of us grew up in the '80s. And so there's a special, you know, nostalgia for this show.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, very exciting. We'll keep on track of Halloween Horror Nights and all of the things coming to Universal Studios Hollywood in the future. So we have a little bit of time left, and I wanted to talk about one thing for our main topic. I want to give a little bit of the history of the Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland, because as many, many people know, and many, many annual pass holders, and many, many people on angry people on message boards know, Disneyland is going to be the last Pirates of the Caribbean attraction. They did the one in Florida. They did start with the one in Paris. That's going to be closing to replace a key scene. I'm going to just read a couple things here. We're going to go through the history, and then I want to get kind of your guys' thoughts on the whole thing and what's being changed. Now, Disneyland has announced that the longtime favorite attraction, Pirates of the Caribbean, will be closing for a lengthy rehab on April the 23rd. The Disneyland version was the last attraction that Walt Disney himself participated in designing, and it opened on March 18, 1967, 3 months after his death. It was originally envisioned as a walk-through wax museum attraction. However, with the success of the boat ride concept of It's a Small World at the 1964 World's Fair, Disney decided to employ a similar concept on Pirates of the Caribbean. The ride was actually first previewed on an episode of Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color. It's one of my favorite episodes. It's a Disneyland 10th anniversary celebration, which first aired on January 3rd, 1965.
Square. And who here's a picture of it from the riverfront as it will look when it's finally finished. And all these little streets are going to be very intriguing, little shops and things, and people can wander around in there. And then in here, we have a special attraction. We call it the Blue Bayou Lagoon. And people are going to get on a boat here and ride through the lagoon. And then as they get around here, we're going to take them down a waterfall and take them back into the past, into the days of the pirates, you know, where the whole Caribbean area was full of pirates and they were always sacking towns and things.
Almost 2 years that it took in development here. The attraction was worked on by many Disney legends, such as Mark Davis, Exitencio, who wrote the Yo-Ho, Yo-Ho, Pirates Eye for Me song, Todd Coates, Yale Gracie, Blaine Gibson, and many of them. You can actually see them working on the Disneyland 10th anniversary
special. Did he also write the Haunted Mansion song?
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
Grim, he's freaking awesome.
Grim Grinning Ghost, yeah. And there's another Haunted Mansion connection to Pirates of the Caribbean also. There are 630,000 gallons of water, 53 audio animatronic animals and birds, and 75 audio animatronic pirates and villagers in the attraction.
Here's one here. Here's a pirate laden with loot. He's trying to escape. He's got 1 foot on the dock and 1 foot on a rocky boat. You know, as the people go by, they see him. He's struggling and everything.
Good luck to him.
Well, he can't make it, or the show would go to pieces, you see. He has to stay there all the time and keep trying to get away.
It takes 3 days to empty and refill the bayou for renovations. Legend has it that while the ride was still under construction, this is actually a really interesting story, Imagineers were displeased because they had false skeletons throughout the ride. They didn't think that they looked authentic enough. And so the solution to them was simple. They went to the UCLA Medical School.
Nice.
And got a bunch of human skeleton cadavers. And so those were placed throughout the ride.
Wait a minute. So somebody who donated their body to science
ended up at a Disneyland attraction. Yes.
Awesome. Now, I had heard before that they removed all the human ones except for one. Oh, sorry.
Hopefully. No. So over time, most of the real bones were replaced as they got to look more, got the fake ones to look more realistic. However, and we don't know why. There's one scene that is actually left. And so if you go into the attraction and you ride through, it's the captain's quarters.
It's in the bed, right?
It's in the bed. Yeah. So there's a pirate who's reading through a magnifying glass. And above him, there's a skull and crossbones.
That's legit.
Those two bones and the skull are actually left over from, those are real. We don't know why that they left him in there. We don't know if that's, who knows. But those are actually...
Maybe it's real. Haunted and the ghost said, like, you leave me here.
Maybe, yeah. So for those of you who are not familiar with it, although I can't imagine there are many people, the attraction begins in a bayou and guests board their boats at Lafitte's Landing.
Okay, sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, you said something and I just kept a no now. You said there's a connection between those two. Is it Jean Lafitte? Is there some kind
of... No, well, Jean-Paul Lafitte was the... Jean-Paul Lafitte was a real pirate.
Okay.
And... But there's another connection.
Okay.
And so after entering the boat, it drifts off through misty waters past the houseboat in the Blue Bayou. Crickets, frogs, toads, and all sorts of waterfowl hidden behind the groves sing songs. The soft strumming of a banjo melody can be heard over the peaceful symphony of nature as guests pass by a houseboat. And on the porch of the houseboat is an old man who's been strumming his banjo in the rocking chair for the last 52 years.
Now, is he an old pirate?
We don't know. So there's never ever been an actual, like, storyline. So we think that he may be an old, some people think he may be an old pirate that's now telling you this tale in modern times.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now you're going, that when you go down the waterfall, you're entering into him telling the story. Some people think it's just a bayou that you're entering and just random. Because as you turn the corner, you're greeted by a talking skull that offers a dire warning that dead men tell no tales.
Psst, avast there. It be too late to alter course, matey. And there be plundering pirates lurking in every cove, waiting to board. Sit closer together and keep your ruddy hands inboard. That be the best way to repel boarders. And mark well me words, mateys. Dead men tell no tales. Ye come seeking adventure and salty old pirates, eh? Sure you've come to the proper place. But keep a weather eye open, mates, and hold on tight, with both hands, if you please. There be squalls ahead,
and Davy Jones waiting for them what don't obey.
You then head down a waterfall. So,
although he is a dead man telling
you. He is a dead man telling you. No, you're actually, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
A dead man is telling you that dead men tell no tales.
Maybe he's just like, I can tell a tale. You shut up.
It's a curse. Maybe it's a curse.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Oh, that's good.
So as visitors make their way through the town of Isla Tesoro, they come upon signs that read, auction, take a wench for a bride, with a line of women waiting to be sold and a red-headed woman vamping for the crowd.
Back in the good old days.
But they're actually more interested in what's taking place across the river. Here, their shipmates are auctioning off the town beauties. And there's the biggest bargain of all.
Under the watchful eye of an elegantly dressed auctioneer voiced by Paul Frees, a longtime voiceover artist for Disney.
And now, you bilge rats, do I hear six? Who makes it six?
Six should be six bottles of rum.
I'm not sponging for rum. It be gold I'm after. Strike your colors, you brazen wench. No need to expose your superstructure.
Wait a boy. Come on now.
We want the rating. We want the rating.
Quiet, you scum.
Frees actually provided the voice of the ghost host in The Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
He also did the voiceover for Adventures Through Inner Space, Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln, and he was also Professor Ludwig von Drake.
Oh, that's awesome.
So a Disney spokeswoman confirmed Thursday that the changeover will take place beginning on April 23rd, but she couldn't say whether other repairs or revamps might take the place at the same time. Disney rides go dark regularly for scheduled maintenance, generally in the off-season. Published reports have pegged the reopening date as June 7th, but no official date has been given. So this is the second time that the Pirates attraction has been revamped to make it more, let's say,
politically correct.
Politically correct, yeah. It's been updated numerous times to one of them was to add Captain Jack Sparrow after The success of the movie. The new animatronic scene will show the same redhead, sort of. Now she'll be a female pirate overseeing an auction of local loot instead of the former scene in which she was the loot. When the change was announced last year at the D23 convention, many in the audience booed loudly, and they continue to boo.
Why did they change it then if everybody doesn't like it?
There's several theories about that. Disney just doesn't like, one of the big Disney writers out there says that they don't like controversy.
I can understand that. There's that one movie, what is it, with the Brer Rabbit? What's that movie called?
Oh, Song of the South.
Song of the South, you can't find anywhere.
Never see the light of day in America.
Disney loves. Yeah. There's also some racist old black and white Mickey cartoons can't find anywhere.
There's some Donald Duck ones and ones that... They don't hold up. And so they, you know, there's always been this thought of like, you know, having someone like Leonard Maltin come in and, you know, they release Song of the South, have Leonard Maltin come in and say, listen, this is not how we think today.
Yeah.
But this was a thing for the time. So Disney just doesn't like controversy, and especially now people are talking about the hashtag Me Too era.
I'm going to say this. It makes sense to me because it's a happy ride. So why are they depicting kidnapping, rape, slavery, auctions?
Because they're pirates.
Yeah.
I understand that, but it's like, here's this like...
Right.
You know, like there's that scene where the woman's the pirates are chasing the women, and then the man's chasing, or the woman's chasing the man, the pirate in reverse, and that's funny. So they're able to make that funny.
Well, that's also been gone for several years. So now they're chasing the women, but they have food in their hands.
Yeah.
So.
Oh gosh, yeah, I do remember that. Well, so but the point is, it's like they're making it a funny scene, and there's nothing funny about rape and torture.
Right.
And,
yeah, it's a difficult decision to have, and definitely. Tastes have changed, and I think anybody, Walt Disney knew that. Walt Disney knew that things changed and that people's tastes changed. And I think that because this is the last attraction that he worked on, people sort of, what am I trying to say? They hold it sacrosanct. They hold it as canon because this was also the late 60s. You know, there's a lot of things that we did in the late 60s as a country that we wouldn't find acceptable today. You know, so
it's what's funny too is it's really like if you do weigh the options of like, I don't want to say offense or whatever, but just kind of being more understanding in general.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tony Baxter, who's a very famous Disney Imagineer.
Oh, I love Tony Baxter, yeah.
Yeah. He, when they made the earlier changes, he said, this is a great quote, he said, we don't want to put anybody in a Jeopardy role.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's really not that big of a deal. It's like literally one, you know, one little character that's doing one little thing different for like 3 seconds
it's,
of your ride.
It's got some great, you know, I will say this, it's got some great dialogue, and it's got some of probably, that scene has the most quotable dialogue in the entire attraction. But you're right, it's one small scene, it's still, in my opinion, it's still a great ride.
Of course.
Did people get this upset when they added Captain Jack Sparrow to the ride?
Oh, they lost their minds.
Okay, because I was going to say, to me, that is more upsetting.
Yeah, they lost their minds. Yeah. Because, so there used to be this transition tunnel, so you would go from kind of like the caverns, and then you would go into this transition tunnel right before you come out where the pirate boat battle is, where the cannons and the pirates in the boat are bombarding the fort. So they added, at first it was Captain Barbossa, and then it was whatever movie came out, whoever that villain was, they would add on a mist screen.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so, yeah, when they added Jack Sparrow, people lost their minds. They lost their minds when they put food in the women's hands. Disney sells nostalgia. That's one of the things that Disney does really well, is that they are really good at selling you nostalgia. Mm-hmm. And so when they change things that you're nostalgic about, you know, it's always been this way, which is one of my least favorite sentences in the English language. People get really upset, especially when they feel that they're not being listened to. I think in this case, it does send a bad message. Why, you know, and it creates, you know, especially in this modern era, you know, how do you have these conversations with your kids? Well, it's okay that, you know, the pirates were selling women.
Yeah. And look at how much fun the pirates are having.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, when they start asking those questions, like, why is it okay for them to sell it, you know, sell women at Disneyland? My friend, a friend of mine works at Walt Disney World. She's seen it. She says it's fine. It's different. And that's all that it is. It's just different. It's not the end of the world, but a lot of Disney fans sometimes have an overreaction to change.
It's the initial reaction without thinking it through.
Yeah.
Like initially you go, what? Come on.
It's that emotional.
And you don't think about, all the different aspects of what it could be. And that's very easy to fall into that category.
Yeah. And like I said, and anybody, especially, you know, when you study, especially what Walt Disney thought in terms of entertainment and kind of the directions that he was moving, I think that I don't think that these Haunted Mansion, that these types of rides, I don't think if Walt had lived another 20 years, that these rides would have even been around, because he knew that things had to change. You have to keep up with people's evolving tastes.
That's right.
And so
he's very clearly about that.
About changing, about looking forward.
Out with the old, in with the new.
Exactly.
Transportation he loved, and he wanted to see, you know, like future. I don't know. And look at Tomorrowland, you know, that's something that's had to always kind of.
Things, I mean, Tomorrowland out of any area and Disney has changed the most, you know. And so I think when you don't adapt to change, we just, you know, went through a period of Toys R Us closing. And, you know, we've lost all of these big corporate companies that nobody ever thought in America anybody with Sears is on the verge of bankruptcy.
Yeah, it's but crazy.
I think, again, because they're reluctant to change. There's a certain reluctance to change. And so when you don't change with consumer tastes and what people find acceptable, you know, I think they're going to lose a lot more people than they would by changing it.
It's a generation flip. Like, you know, to the children in this day and age, they're not going to notice these things missing. They don't know. You're right. They have to. It'll become out of date.
It's always the old people complaining.
It is.
Back in my day,
yeah,
they had a woman that they auctioned.
I can tell you.
Yeah, I know.
and a lot of it is a lot. You know, like, well, why are people so easily offended? Well, they just, you know, right or wrong. And I don't even think it's an offensive thing. I think it's, you know, it's people are questioning things that older generations found okay. Again,
that's a very good point.
You know, but older generations thought it was okay to keep different races in different schools and different bathrooms and different drinking fountains and different buses.
There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff in the history of this country.
It's an interesting time that we're in that, there's more attention to changing all this stuff. And it's
a questioning of what we find, you know, what we find acceptable and what we don't anymore. And those things are always going to change.
And they should.
And they should. And they should evolve and they should grow. And, you know, there was a time when gay couples couldn't get married in this country.
There was a time when gay couples would be like murdered in the street. It's crazy. Yeah.
I've talked about it with friends before. I graduated high school in the late 90s and we had an English teacher who had roommate. You know, we didn't talk about these things. Now, you know, these kids today, I work with kids. They are so much more open and so much braver and it's a wonderful thing. And I think change is a good thing. I don't think change for change's sake is a good thing.
No, just accepting it as it comes. Let the world evolve and evolve with it.
Yeah, that's a great,
the great words of David Lee Roth from Van Halen, nothing stays the same but change.
So, absolutely fantastic.
Well, that's only part of it. A big climatic scene.
But how could you top it?
Well, we set the place on fire, and we have our audience trapped down in this flaming city.
And how can they get out then?
Well, now you got into this mess by going down a waterfall. Now, how would you suppose we get them out of there?
By going up the waterfall?
That's right. Anything's possible in Disneyland.
All right. So that's actually a great way to leave this. Let us know your thoughts.
Yeah.
You can send us a note on our Facebook page. You can, I might put up a poll on the Facebook page, or you can email us. So, that's going to do it for this show. I'd like to thank you guys for listening. I'd like to thank all of our listeners out there. Thank you, Brandis, for coming in. Thank you, John, for coming in. And again, thank you for listening. We know that you have many options for your theme park entertainment news, and we are so glad that you chose ours today. You can connect with Vacationland online by visiting our Facebook page, facebook.com/vacationlandpodcast, Instagram, VL Podcast, on Twitter, @VacationlandShow. And make sure to search our YouTube channel by searching the Vacation Land Podcast and see some of the sights from Disneyland's recent Lunar New Year Festival, as well as the Boysenberry Festival at Knott's Berry Farm and the DCA Food and Wine Festival. So for all of us here, again, thank you for listening. My name is Chris Ramirez. I am the host and executive producer of the Vacation Land Podcast. We certainly hope you've enjoyed the show, and we hope you've enjoyed your stay in Vacation Land.